Having said that, and I don't want to, you know, when you do a having said, it sounds like you're going to negate what you just said. I think we also need to be clear that patience is not passivity. It's not about meek, being meek and mild and just allowing yourself to be trampled on and walked over. It's not a kind of masochism. It's not a kind of self-hatred. And perhaps we have to be very careful with our Christian conditioning here, to use that sort of expression. It's a very different kind of practice, the practice of patience. And I think what comes up here is the whole issue of dignity and self-respect. I don't think the practice of patience means that you internally lose your dignity and self-respect. And, something came to mind when I was reflecting on all this, reflecting a bit on my experience in India and the contrasting approaches to the issue of untouchability by Mohandas Gandhi and Dr. Ambedkar. Gandhi generally took the view that the untouchables, to use that expression, would purify themselves through suffering with dignity. I think on one occasion he likened this suffering to the suffering of a cow, which is, is a very sort of positive image in Hinduism. The cow is a kind of holy animal, but it's badly treated and it suffers the indignities, passively. Gandhi seemed to propose that the untouchable should accept bad treatment. Dr. Ambedkar was very different. He didn't agree with that, although he was completely non-violent in his approach. His concern for his people was the development and the cultivation of self-respect and personal dignity. And he believed that that was the basis for cultural development, spiritual development. In fact, it could only take place, that self-respect, that self-dignity, through improving your spiritual life. And it's very interesting in relation to that. So you're not talking about passivity. You're talking about the development of your dignity, if you like. Your dignity needs to be developed. If you like, you can only practice patience really and truly if you develop a great internal wealth and strength, a great internal dignity. Now, don't rationalise that. Well, I'm getting angry because I haven't got the dignity and self-respect and the self-metta. No. It points to, if you do feel as though you're losing it, that you've really got to do a lot of inner work, to resist, to not be brought down by circumstance. And here, once again, we can see the necessity of giving birth to, giving rise to, and of course that's a paradox in this context, of the unsupported, baseless, centreless consciousness, giving rise to the great mind of the Bodhisattva, and especially in the form of unsupported, baseless, centreless loving kindness, which is the aim of the Metta Bhavana practice. We need, if we're going to practice patience fully and completely, to cultivate the great and continuous loving heart. Maybe others do take away your dignity or appear to. They abuse you, they insult you, they even take your life, but you don't feel that you've lost your dignity. You've got a different reference point, a transcendent reference point, if you like, another scale of dignity, and to respond with anger, to respond with ill will, to retaliate, that would go against your sense of dignity. So I just want to make this point, that patience isn't about a sort of reduction of yourself, becoming meek and mild. It's an expansion of yourself, to use that sort of language, well, to a point of no self. I think Bhante tries to give a feeling for patience very well in his commentary, where he talks about a mother, and I've seen this in India, a mother with her little child, and the child has got into a tantrum and is sort of hitting her, and And she just laughs and plays and loves and soothes, and, you know, the child's going like that, and, you know, she's all, you know, it's, and there's no anger, there's no retaliation, because her child is her flesh and blood. It's instinctive. So how, you can't take it personally, what's going on. The Bodhisattva, the true Bodhisattva, wants to feel this way about everyone. You find this in the Karaniya Metta Sutta, don't you? It's likened, this great boundless loving kindness is likened to a love for a mother, her child, but for everyone, whatever they're like, whatever they do. Because it's not saying that you go around mothering people and smothering people and becoming very cloying and controlling. The image here, the importance of the image here, is one suggesting inseparability. You know, an inseparability of tender-hearted response to others, wanting the best for others, regardless of how they treat you. And that might mean letting them go and letting them grow. It might also sometimes mean being very direct and outspoken, of course. But perhaps from this we get some idea of what this unsupported loving kindness and what true patience is like. So this is a very tall order indeed, and it can be very daunting when you're presented with this, you know, this kind of quality. And of course, you cannot just summon up that feeling. You can't just summon it up. You know, it takes time and practice to develop it, and it needs understanding. And this brings up the whole kind of wisdom aspect of patience. Bhante quotes a French saying, I think, to understand all is to forgive all. And just on an ordinary level, if you understand someone's life, you understand their background, the forces, the pressures that they've been under, you can often just let go of your anger about them if they've harmed you. Or they irritate you. So, well, you know, when you see the kind of life that they've had, I mean, if I had been in those circumstances, I'd be the same, probably worse. And you can let it pass, you can let it go by, you can find a more creative response to them. Or just on a day-to-day level, you know, somebody, you know, lets you down in some way. They don't turn up for a meeting, or they make a mistake. Often quick to apply moral judgment to that. Well, it's just unreliable. And then you sort of find out that, well, actually, there are all sorts of things that brought this about, and you can let go. You know, they weren't being malicious. They weren't trying to harm you. And you can let go of your irritation when you understand the circumstances. Practicing shanti means not leaping to moral judgment. There's no moral judgment in shanti. It's about understanding the forces, the conditions that make people the way they are. And of course, great empathy arises when you understand. And it's interesting, in the Kshantivadin Jataka, they keep mentioning, when they're describing the king, the sort of conditions that brought him to that. They almost try to excuse him in the storytelling. Well, you know, he woke up from the sleep and he was a bit bleary-eyed and, you know, he didn't quite know what he was doing. And it's quite interesting when you look at the sutra. They kind of, in the telling of the sutra, it's a teaching about understanding. But we need to see even deeper still. We need, of course, to see that life, that all life, all things, are just a flow of conditions, impermanent, insubstantial, ungraspable. To practice in relation to others, practice patience in relation to others, to forgive others, because we're talking about forgiveness, we need to forgive life itself. We need to accept, not passively, but deeply, profoundly, that life itself changes and flows and has no substance. Joining and separation are woven into the fabric of things. A bodhisattva is remarkable because he lives in this. He knows this deeply, profoundly. He's deeply and profoundly involved with life, with people, with beings. He cares about it all. He's really deeply involved in the joys and sorrows of others. But he knows at the same time that it'll all pass on. It'll all pass away. It's very hard to imagine such a being, such a state, to be deeply, profoundly involved with life, really caring about life, wanting to enrich life. And yet you know, whatever is erected, whatever arises, passes away. So we need as well to practice patience in relation to the Dharma, to imagine a state like this. We need to practice patience in the sense of opening up to, responding to, becoming receptive and sensitive to these profound and difficult and challenging teachings. Not just reacting or rejecting what is difficult because it doesn't suit or just because it's just plain baffling.